The theme for this year is Equip the Saints. Pastor John, he preached on it at Vision Sunday, where we're going to have five three-week series, preaching series, on Ephesians 4, where it says, you know, that some are called to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So today is the first of 3 weeks in the evangelism stream. Because we're here, you know, like it's called Fishers of Men. Isn't that awesome? It's a great title. Fishers of Men. Fishers of Men. So that's our theme. Like the call of God, the call to follow Jesus is the call to be a fisher of men. In fact, it was the first calling to his disciples. As part of that, our Equip the Saints series, we're going to deep dive into the maturity and the ministry of evangelism as we all step out to become fishers of men. So let's just close our eyes as I pray. Thank you, Father, oh, that you're here. I thank you, Lord, for your presence. I thank you, Father, for your word that brings life, your word that brings light, your word that brings revelation. And Lord, I pray that as you touch hearts today, oh, that you'll reveal to us whatever we need to know today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Well, thank you, band. I thought, oh, I can still hear music going on. Let's give them a hand as they go. And I don't know what's happening in Melbourne, but I'm sure you've already sat down. Okay. So I started following God 22 years ago. Oh my goodness. That's right, 2003, and it was in January. But 5 years before I started following God, Everywhere I went, one of my neighbours was a Christian. For 5 years. And I had moved house at that time 4 times into different locations. I lived in Brisbane, I lived in Mackay, and I lived on the Sunshine Coast. But it didn't matter where I moved. In that 5 years, there was a Christian living next door to me. I think like God was like chasing me down. I think he wanted to know me. It took a while for me to get it, but he did. But he wants to know you. And you know, one of those people that lived next door to me, my neighbour, invited me along to church. I went to a Christmas service. It was so awesome. I loved it. Like when she invited me, I didn't think, oh, how dare you ask me to go to church. No, I was like happy. I was rapt. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, isn't that awesome? Like, thank you so much. I thought, you're so nice, because when you get invited to something, you feel welcomed, you feel accepted. So I went along and to that Christmas service. I enjoyed it that much that when she invited me the next year, I went along to that as well. That's right, because in that first service, I liked it. I really did. But then someone got up and started talking about money, and I hated it. I'm like, no, oh no, no, no. So the next year, I went again, and you know, the same sort of thing happened, but I was a little bit better at it. And then not long after that, my best friend actually gave her heart to Jesus. And she inspired me because I saw the change in her. She changed. She started to even talk differently. She pulled her kids out of normal public school and put them into a Christian school. Lots of these things were going on, and I saw the change in her. There was just something about her that inspired me to go along to church. And I did. I went along and to visit, and there was an invitation for me to accept Jesus into my heart. And I did. And my whole life changed from that moment on. So I'm going to share a little bit about that. You might be here today and you don't have a relationship with God. You might be in Melbourne East and you don't have a relationship with God. A little bit later, I'm going to give you an opportunity to invite him into your heart. It's a life-changing decision. We heard from Rowena earlier here on the Sunshine Coast, how God, even though she was in church, it's not until you actually invite him in and let him work in you that he can move. So that's a great thing. So when Jesus went after his disciples, he started with some fishermen. He did. In Matthew 4, verse 18 to 19, it says, "And Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" See, Jesus, he looks for people. He seeks people out. He doesn't just see people as they are, but he sees who they can be, who they are called to be, and who they are created to be. That's what he does. So follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So it's not, we're not just called to follow Jesus. We're called to be fishers of people. So it's not just men, women. There's lots of fishy women too as well. So it's, we're called to be fishers of people. So I want to know who here is a good fisher person? Oh, we've got some hands. Oh, Sam here. Yeah, like down the back. Oh, yeah. Good fisher person. So we've got some good. Oh, look. Oh, look. Here we go. Stefano. Oh, look. A few more hands are going up. They're getting a bit more courage now that they're good fisher people. So tell me, though, in the room, in Melbourne, I want you to raise your hand if you've ever been fishing. Put your hand up if you've ever been fishing. A lot more people. Most people have been fishing at some time. But that's the same as sharing your faith. Some people are called to share their faith all the time. They've got the gift of evangelism. But everyone is called to fish. Everyone is called to be a witness. So whether you've got that gift on the inside of you or not, we're all called to be a witness for God. So there's lots of people who are great at fishing for people, like the Scorries, like they're great at fishing for people, like Kai and Grace, like Sam, lots of people, like Vaine. How are you, Vaine? Vaine, oh my goodness. Kia ora ana. And Liv, her sister, great. Dan Frecker, great fisherman of people, he is. But then I've never felt myself, like for years I didn't really feel like I was a great fisherman. But now I look back, I just realise, because sometimes the enemy will come and try to tell you, nah, that's not you. Nah, you can't do that. But I'm going to tell you a little bit about fishing, because now that I'm an expert at fishing, yeah, all right? So, like, you know, I've done a bit of fishing in my time. I've fished off the rocks with my cousins in New Zealand, and you get these little prickly fish and you just chuck them back. That was fun. I fished in a boat with my grandpa. We used to go fishing. I loved that. I fished at the mouth of the Motu River, which is in Eastern Bay of Plenty. So this is probably my most favourite fishing, and it's because the fish are running. Well, no, they're swimming, but they call it running though. They're swimming, but when they're running in the water, like a wave comes up, you can see them. They're happening. The fish are happening. There's lots of them. You can see them in the waves. So this particular fish, they're called kahawai. So kahawai, I think in Australia, I Googled it, it's called Australian salmon. There you go. But kahawai, kaha means strong and wai means water. So they're in strong water. So when they're swimming, and there's so many of them, and you use like a line and you put a spinner on the end and you just like spin it around like that and chuck it out and then you just start pulling it in. And there's so many, like you can catch them in the eye, you can catch them in the side. There's so many, they don't even have to bite it. Like that's my kind of fishing. It's got to be happening. There's got to be so many just pulling them in. I remember one day, like we were there for a couple of hours and we caught 50. My kind of fishing. I don't like wasting my time. So this was the best time. But you would know, if you are a fisherman, you need different equipment and techniques for different types of fishing. So people are in different places in their journey towards God. They are. So we use different techniques and different equipment. So a few things I have learned about fishing. The first one is you need to go where the fish are. So we position ourselves where people who do not know Jesus are. I mean, for most of us, that's really easy. When you work in a church like I do, it's not as easy. Well, I don't know. There is some couple of people who probably need to get saved at church. No, but it's not as easy to share your faith. I mean, I've had a few moments. Anyway, we'll go on. We'll go on. So you put yourself, and you know what? God has already placed you, just as he's placed me in spheres of influence. He's placed you in your family. He's put your friends around you, your neighbourhood, your workmates, your business colleagues, school, uni, sports friends, gym friends, Pilates friends, all those people. So we go where the fish are. The second thing is, when you're fishing, you need a rod or you need a line, you need a hook, you need some bait, all those things. But what happens, you could stand on the beach all day long, but unless you throw that out in the water, nothing's going to happen. So when you're fishing, you've got to throw out the line, throw the line into the water. And really, the rest is up to the fish, all right? You throw the line out, but it's up to the fish. So be prepared to throw out a line. Be prepared to have something ready to share with someone. Be prepared to throw out a line. Like, but really, it's up to the fish after that. The third thing is, it needs patience. Oh my goodness, this is the hardest thing for me. That's why I don't go fishing now. I don't like it. It's boring. Like seriously, I do not have the patience just to sit there for hours. I don't know how people do it, but you know, if it's good for you, that's great. That's amazing. Now, what you don't do when you're fishing is what I've done a few times myself, is you go dynamite fishing. Now, I think you might know what I'm talking about. When I was brand new, I was like, yeah, I'll get a hold of something. I need to tell you everything that I know about, which wasn't very much at that time, but everything. It'll be like, you know, and there's a Bible and you pray and you do this and you stand on the word. I mean, what does that even mean? Like, I'd just get somebody and I'd start talking to them. I want to tell them everything. That's dynamite fishing. It just blows them out of the water straight up. They're like, you are crazy and nuts. I don't want to have anything to do with you. But, you know, fortunately for me, I was so enthusiastic about it that I, like, they actually did come along to church. But I do not, do that. They don't need to know everything that you know. Just throw out a line. A line, that's a few lines, not like a whole paragraph, or, you know, a whole essay on your life story. You don't need to do that, all right? No dynamite fishing. So fish requires patience. You know, sometimes the fish aren't biting and you've got to go back again and you've got to go back again. And, been inviting my family for 22 years and they haven't always bitten. Well, they have, but not in the way you think. Like... They have, they were biting like, are you crazy? What, you've seen the light now? Seriously, this is how my family were with me. I don't know whether your family are like that. When I told them that I was following Jesus, they were like, oh my gosh, you're kidding me. You've seen the light, oh my goodness. So that's how it was with my family at the beginning. But anyway, I'll talk a little bit more about my family later. So, you know, they didn't bite for a long, long time. So... the other thing, when you go fishing, and I see Lydia, like that. She's an amazing fisherwoman. I see all your photos with these fish that are bigger than you. Really amazing. That's the thing when you get photos, everyone's got them, you know, they're amazing photos. I love them. So the thing is, when you throw out and you're reeling a fish in, does it come out all scaled, gutted and everything? No, it doesn't. It doesn't come out all scaled and all cleaned up and all gutted. No, it doesn't. And do you know what? You've got to catch it first and then it gets scaled and cleaned. And it's the same for when you're inviting people to church. When people have issues in their lives, do you wait for them to be cleaned up before you invite them along to church? No, you don't. We don't prejudge people. If that had happened, no one would have invited me to church. I had many issues. So we've got a few now. But anyway, the thing is, you don't wait. You do not wait for people to get cleaned up. You invite them along. We don't prejudge them. We don't think, nah, they'd never go for it. But no, we invite them. We invite them. We throw the line in and then it's up to the fish. You know, and that's what happens. Because when someone comes along, you heard with Rowena this morning, he cleans up. He changes lives. His Spirit does that. God's been doing that in me for 22 years, and He's going to continue to do that. But that's what happens when we don't prejudge. We invite people how they are. So, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. How to be a fisher of men. I've only got 2 points. The first one is to pray. Pray for people. Pray for opportunities. In John 17, verse 9, it says, "My prayer is not for the world, but for those you have given me, because they belong to you." Prayer is powerful. Do you know when I pray, coincidences happen. When I don't, they don't. Prayer is powerful. Prayer prepares them. Prayer prepares you. Prayer is the engine room of boldness. When I pray, when I'm about to speak to someone, I'm prayed up. I'm ready to go. I've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. So every day I pray for the boldness to share with people. I pray that wherever my feet go, the Holy Spirit is with me. I carry the presence of God. I carry the love of God. I pray for that, and that I would be prepared to share it with other people. I pray that God would bring opportunities across my path, that I would be able to share His peace, His love, His hope, His faith, His light, His healing, His restoration. All those things are on the inside of us when we carry the Holy Spirit. I'm getting excited right now. I am excited. Do you know, there's an evangelist. I love watching evangelists. Ben Fitzgerald is one of them. He's an evangelist. He's an Australian, but he's started Awakening Europe. When he first became a Christian, he wrote down a list of 10 people that he wanted to see come to Christ. He prayed for them daily, and all 10 of them received Jesus that year. This is what happens when we pray. All 10 of them. He prayed for them like for 30 seconds each. Each morning he just prayed through his list. You may have noticed on your seats, we've got a card here of 10, like, and it's got names of 10 people that you want to see come to Jesus. Man, I want people to know Him because of what He's done in my life and my family's and other people that I've seen, the change. God wants our best life. So we've got these for you to write down your 10 names, but on the back, it's also got scriptures that you can pray as you're praying for them every day. 30 seconds a day. Boom, 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 boom. You really see God when you pray, see what happens. Pastor Dan earlier spoke about fasting. When my mother, who at the time, she was like one of, you know, at the time of, oh, you've seen the light kind of thing with me. Like, so she was definitely not into church, not into God. She was coming over from New Zealand, so I started to pray for her salvation. I started to pray for her, but I fasted because I thought my mother's going to need a lot. This is what happens when we fast. When we fast, fasting's the bomb. Fasting's the thing that breaks things. So I thought, boy, it better be a good fast. So I just fasted water. So I just had water. So I started on the Monday. On the Thursday, I was at the gym. And that's right. I don't know. When you make up your mind, and this is what you do, you make your mind up, God will help you to fast. So I'm at the gym on the Thursday. So I started Monday, gym Thursday. I had a vision of my mother standing right there, giving her heart to Jesus. She hadn't even arrived in the country yet. And so that just obviously gave me faith. I'm thinking, well, obviously she's going to come when I ask her. So I try and think, well, how am I going to ask her? Oh, well, I'm just going to say, hey, Mum, you know, do you want to meet some of Ivan's friends? That's Ivan's my son. I'm trying to think of it like, yeah. I was thinking, do you want to meet some of Ivan's friends? And she goes, I was showing her photos, and she said, I'd love to. So she come along. She came to the morning service, didn't respond to Jesus. But I'm like, wow. I saw it so clearly. So we go back. She had no, at the time, I didn't think she'd come back to the night service. But I asked her, Mum, why don't you come to the night service? She'd been crying. She'd been in here crying because she felt the presence of God. So she come back to the night service. The response went out. The line was thrown out. Nothing happened. I know. What is going on? So anyway, I walked up to her in the service and I went, "Mum, do you want to come?" Because at that time, used to come to the front. And she said yes. Came up, gave her life to Jesus right there. But that's what prayer can do. Prayer is powerful. It is powerful. And so is fasting, people. Woo! Are you excited about fasting now? Yeah, I thought you might be. One of those neighbours that I live next to when I first moved into the house that I live in now, I'd just become a Christian. She was a Christian, had been a long-term Christian. She heard me cleaning the car and I had worship music going off, blasting the street. See, I don't care because that's what I was like. I'm thinking, like, yeah, I'm into this now, like, love this, singing away, Jesus, Jesus, cleaning the car. But anyway, she comes over and she goes, "Did I hear worship music?" And I'm like, "Yeah." She goes, "Oh, I'm a Christian." I went, "Wow, so good, yeah." And she goes, "You know what? We should pray for the street. We've got 13 houses in our street." I'm like, "Okay, let's do it." She says, "Let's start having a Christmas street party." I'm like, "Okay, let's do it." So we had a Christmas street party and we started to pray for every person in our street. Same thing, list. I had a 24-hour prayer and worship night at my house, invited all my friends over, and part of it, we prayed for my street. 8 of the 13 people we invited them, have been to church, either my church or her church. This is what happens when you pray. Prayer is powerful. In Acts 1:8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Being a witness starts where you are and it expands outward with the Holy Spirit's power. So it's not just about strategy, it's about power. The Holy Spirit gives us power. Without the Holy Spirit, it's just human effort. But with Him, it's supernatural. Everything I've talked about already is supernatural. We need the Holy Spirit. So who do we share with? It says, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem." Jerusalem represents your immediate circle, your family, your friends, your co-workers, your local community. The majority of people, approximately 98%, it's said, are called to reach the world by reaching their own world. I just want to know, who was actually invited by a friend or family? Raise your hand if you were invited by a friend or family. Quite a few people. You raise your hand in Melbourne? Great. That's what happens. Your friends and your family, they know you. They accept your testimony of Jesus quicker because they know you and trust you. So I have been praying, as I said, for my family. And 22 years, and it's not been easy. They really did make fun of me at first. But over time, they came to see the change in me. That's what made the difference. My mother made the decision here. I invited my family to see me get ordained as a pastor. It was my son's 21st birthday the week after, but I moved his birthday a week earlier to the Saturday because people flew in from Sydney and New Zealand for his 21st birthday. I moved it a week earlier so that the next day they could come and come to church. So I had 22 friends and family come to church when I got ordained. And really, about 8 of them were already Christians, some of my friends, but not one of them made a decision for Christ that day. Was I disappointed? Like, no, I wasn't disappointed. Because they were all touched by the Spirit of God. My dad was crying out in the foyer. My mum was crying out in the foyer. My sisters were like, "What?" Like, so you don't know what's going on the inside of people. So now, you know, 2 of my cousins that were here, they go to church in New Zealand. 3 of my friends now go to church. In 2019, in Sydney, I invited my dad to the Presence Conference, and he came, and he loved it. He was crying during worship, and we talk about God all the time now, my father and I. He calls him the big fella. Yeah, that's right. When I got water baptized, I was a soccer mum at the time. I invited all the soccer families. I'm there on the Saturday. I'm like, hey, I'm getting water baptized tomorrow. Come to my water baptism. Well, I figured, like, I invited them to my, that same year I did my black belt grading in Taekwondo. I invited them to that. Same sort of thing, but this is more important. So they came to that. So I thought, come to my water baptism. They're like, what does that mean? I'm like, I don't know, but it's going to be awesome. Because I didn't really know what water baptism, I knew I was, you know, giving my heart to Jesus fully. I knew that. But apart from that, not really. So they came to my water baptism. This is what happens. Like, it doesn't have to be God over here, my life over here. God is part of my life. The people in it are also part of my life. I want them to know Jesus. So then we expand to Judea. So Judea, that includes acquaintances, co-workers, neighbours, and those you interact with regularly but may not have a deep relationship with them. So people that you share common ground with, like either background or interests or lifestyle. So that for me is my Pilates friends, my gym friends. Gym and Pilates and that sort of thing has always been my little mission field. I've invited so many people from the gym when I went to the gym. I've had people turn up to church. I've invited them. I haven't even known that they were there. They told me the next week. That's what I mean. That you just invite where you're at. I catch up and I have coffee fortnightly with my Pilates friends, and I am going to see them come to Jesus. And then Samaria, this represents people that are near geographically but distant relationally, culturally or socially. It symbolizes crossing barriers to reach those who you might naturally avoid or overlook. I think of this like people that really out of my comfort zone. So when I think of this, I think about when I did RE with grade 3 kids. Oh my goodness, so out of my comfort zone. I used to go there and I would sweat. It was, I would sweat, and I'm not even a sweater. I was just stressed out. But I got to lead some of those kids to the Lord. They were in grade 3. How awesome is that? And then we think about reaching the ends of the earth. So you start in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the ends of the earth. So in Colossians 4, verse 5 and 6, it says, live wisely among those who are not believers, and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will be the right response, so that you will have the right response for everyone. So we've got these little invite cards. They'll be available down the back. It says, you are loved, you belong. And then on the other side, it's actually got when our Sunday services are. I carry these around in my handbag. Guys, you can put them in your wallet, whatever. Like, you know, like you don't have to have a handbag to do it. Like, so you put it in your pocket, but I give them to people. I have it ready. I'm ready. I'm ready to do it. Ready to be gracious and attractive and be sensitive. When I say be sensitive, just speak normal. One thing I found, when you're a Christian, you pick up Christian words quickly. Yeah, we start talking about people getting saved. Saved from what? That's how I felt. When somebody, my friend said to me, oh, I got saved. I'm like, what did you get saved from? From what? Like, so that's not, you know, like, don't, we call it Christianese. You know, we're going to stand on the word. What does that even mean? Oh, my goodness. And do not start speaking in tongues. Shakarabakaraba. Nope. Do not do that either. All right? Just be normal. It's so good. It's all good. Just be normal. I know in Melbourne, it's tricky for you to do that, but just be normal. Isn't that right, Warren? Yeah. Anyway, so that was number one, pray. Number two is be intentional. Be friendly. Have people over for barbecues. You know, we don't have to spill the beans, like in the very first, you know, met somebody, invite them over to your house. Make them feel at home. Make them know that you care about them. When people know you care about them, they're more likely to come. So, you know, if it's sacred hospitality, within whatever it is, and be interruptible. That's one thing that on a plane, sometimes I don't want to talk to somebody. But when that happens, I even put my headphones in and I can feel God pressing me, like, talk to that person, talk to that person, talk to that person. I'm thinking, nah, I'm not in a good mood today. Nah. I was actually on a plane on my way back to my grandmother's funeral, so I really wasn't feeling great. There's this guy, young Māori guy, and I give him the eyebrows, but that's about all. Because I thought, I just don't want to talk. Anyway, we get off the plane and we change planes. He ends up on the same plane as me. I'm like, no way. A smaller plane, he ends up sitting next to me. I'm like, okay, God, all right. I talked to him. He also was going back to a family member who was sick and passing away. So I got to talk to him. I got to pray with him. Be interruptible. Be interruptible. Oh, all right. And the last thing is to share your testimony. Your testimony has power. The testimony of how you met Jesus has power. The testimony of how your life has changed has power. The testimony, share your testimony or someone else's. If you know someone who got healed, share their testimony. I do that all the time. I shared someone's testimony. I think Dan Bowman used to have nosebleeds and then he got prayer and it stopped. If I hear anything about a nosebleed, out comes that testimony. They're like arrows in my quiver. Like people who've had, like I've got back healings, all sorts of, I've got my own healing. I've got people who are in debt and need financial help. I've got so many quivers right in there because I've so testimony brings power. Your own testimony about your giving your heart to Jesus is powerful. You can do it. Do a 30-second one or a 30-second one or a 3-minute one. Do not do a 30-minute one. Hey, people want to know you, but not that much. Like, yeah, 30 minutes, like, that's dynamite fishing. You know, that's it. So, yeah. But practice it. Practice it. Practice it in your groups. Practice it. So what we're going to do very soon, I want to pray for you. Do you know that being bold for God is not about being loud? Being bold for God is about being convinced that He is real, that He can transform lives, that He's transformed my life, that He's got a plan and a purpose for every person. That's what being bold for God is. It's not about loud. It's about being convinced. No one is too far from God, and no one is too hard for God. So I just want you to close your eyes here at Melbourne East online. I want to pray for you to be a witness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the indescribable joy that comes when we help others come to know you. Thank you, Father. Lord, I lift up every person on the Sunshine Coast, in Melbourne, and online to you, Father. I thank you, Lord, that when we follow you, you make us fishers of men, fishers of people. Lord, give us eyes to see. Lift up our eyes to see people, to be interruptible. Oh, Lord, we pray that you'd help us to reach our families, to reach our friends, to reach our neighborhood, to reach those that we work with, those that are business colleagues. Lord, we just pray for your help. Give us the right words to say. Fill our mouths with your words. Let us be gracious and attractive. Oh, Lord, that we would see people come to know you and be transformed. Equip us, empower us, help us to lead people a step closer to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.